The smarts in here. The smarts in here. Yeah.
It's your boy Sean Puff. I'm here with Mike K, Porterhouse, and Raiden. And this is Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Geeks. What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Yo, what's good?
I feel like I just shortened my intro up there. I don't know why or how, but we haven't done this in forever, it feels like.
Long. Too long.
We had to finally get back. We want to say, the funny thing is, three episodes ago, this is our 50th episode. Three episodes ago was our last year's Slammy Awards. And next week is our Slammy Awards for this year. So that tells you how away we've been this year. But we're back. We've got a kind of a new format. We got a bunch of new guys coming on board the show now. So it's going to be fun. So right now, what we're about to bring you is a two-part, year in review episode. So we're just going to kind of break down the whole year for you. We're going to talk about the ins, the outs, the good, the bad, the ugly. We're not going to finish it all this episode. So check us out later on this week and you're going to find part two with us. So check that out to get the rest of the year in review. All this shit that we don't talk about, that you ask why, it's because we're going to talk about it next time. And then next week after that's the Smarkies. So let's just dive into this because we got a lot to talk about. It's been a wild year wrestling.
Yeah, it has.
Let's talk about what I think might be the biggest bit of wrestling news that's happened all year, the return of CM Punk.
Yeah, I mean, you would have never thought it 5 years ago, 2 years ago, or even a year ago, if he would ever be back. And then all the rumors speculating, you were like, I hope it's true. I don't know if it's true, but it may be true. And then finally that night, you know, I was one of the people that I don't watch wrestling live ever. But I purposely tuned in just to see, because even though I don't really care too much and everything that's happened, you know, is kind of what I thought would happen with somebody like him returning. But just for that moment, I was like, is this true? Could it really happen? And then that music hit and it was the same music we all know and love. And it brought that feeling of like something that I didn't think I wanted, but secretly kind of did want is happening right now. And I get to see it. And it's just, you could see the emotion and almost just like, it was almost cathartic in a way, because even if you loved or hated the guy, like, since you know his whole story, to see him here, it was just kind of cool. Just even if it was in that 30 minutes of him coming out and doing his entrance, you know.
And it was great. And then he cried and whined like a little bitch. Everyone got sick of him in like 2 weeks. But seriously, I mean, it was great to see him come back. For me, I think the biggest downside was they played out his return too long and just threw him in the ring with a microphone and just let him whine way too much. And I think it just wore on everybody way too quickly. And I think the shine wore off of CM Punk very, very quickly this time around. I don't know if you guys agree with me on that, but that's my take on it.
I think for me, well, okay, when the thing started happening, when the thing just started, for me, I was going through a bad time with work, blah, 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 and it was my birthday at the time, so I was like, screw it, let me just see what's going on, because, of course, you know, watch a little bit of wrestling here and there. I mean, I watch a lot, not named WWE, but when I finally checked it out, they actually did it, and I was flabbergasted. I mean, he's back? I mean, The thing I would say about this whole year, in a sense, is just like how much you expect the unexpected, and Punk was one of them. So the fact that they did that, the fact that they was able to get him on board, to me, I felt like that was a little bit of a game changer. But I know people has a little bit of a, you know, animosity between the men, which I get. Bitterness can definitely change for people, but for a lot of people, it's like, hey, he's back. People love him back. But what I do like in the whole kayfabe thing, a lot of people didn't want him back. I guess we'll talk about that later. But for what it's worth, I'm happy to see him back. I'm happy to see his passion come back because it was gone for a long time.
Right. And that's the thing, right? It's that moment. If you just took the moment in a box and just took that for what it was, I mean, for me personally, if he were to never, ever wrestle again from that point, it would have been perfect just to see him. You know, I know, I'm sure we'll talk
about this. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
I hear you.
And it's like, I think about it now too. And now the fact that we're getting an Owen Hart tribute tournament after over 20 years since his death, it's like just the idea of that image being used again is cool in itself. And that's all I really want, is just like the people I liked as a child, even if they're just honored in some way or just a thank you or anything.
And I want to say something because I'm going to lose it. I know I will, because I smoke too much. So here's my question to you. You're happy about the Owen Hart tournament, right?
In the idea, yes.
All right. Do you agree that it should have happened in the WWE, and it's kind of bullshit that she's held out on letting WWE do things? Because WWE has wanted to do a Owen Hart tournament. They've approached her and said, hey, we want to do this. And she has this disdain for the WWE, so kept it away, and now decides, oh, I'm going to do it over here. Personally, I think that's bullshit. And it kind of takes away a little bit of my excitement for it, because I think that it's being done more in spite than for the proper reasons.
I hear you.
Yeah.
There's like two sides of every story, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I think we already talked about previously off topic about the whole Montreal screw job. Right. I think when Vince said Brett screwed Brett, in a sense, he's right. Like, I feel like with Brett, he was very honorable, and I think that was his crutch. So I think with Martha, I think after what happened to her husband, she was just full on protective mode with his legacy. And you know, a lot of fans, you know, us wrestling fans, especially with this year, are the most toxic things in existence. So, you know, they give her death threats and all that stupid shit. I mean, it's true. It's like you get that a lot. I mean, another thing is, especially with the whole Brody Lee passing, you know, people are still like a little, you know, toxic, but still pay their respects. So I think with Martha, it's more of spite saying, hey, here's another wrestling company that has respect for legacies. So it's like, over the years, she sees that the whole thing, the locker room, our family. So it's like, hey, let me finally do something so keep the wrestling fans happy. And of course, yeah, if you know Twitter, it's one of the most toxic things on earth. You know, people have been cursing her left and right about that stuff. So, and like I said, there's two sides to every story with things. There are fans say, "Yay, we get Owen Hart," but the other said, "You couldn't do this shit in WWE. You're so bitter. What happened to your husband? You couldn't reconcile with the Harts." Like, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, no.
The way I look at it is kind of like this. I would totally agree with you if it was an Eddie Guerrero tournament. If it was an Eddie Guerrero tournament, then I would totally be with you. Like, why the fuck is AEW bothering? But I will say it's a little bit of a sketchy thing, only because of the way Owen passed and how that all went about. I honestly cannot fault her for wanting to do this with another promotion elsewhere. Very similar to how WCW had that Owen Hart tribute night where Brett fought Benoit for the world title, mm-hmm. You know, where he did that thing. It's like, cool. That's a nice way to honor him. Of course, it's such a pain because of course TNA would have never done an Owen Hart tournament because they're not big enough and it wouldn't get enough eyes to truly honor his legacy. Same thing with the Ring of Honor, same thing like that. So the fact that it's something that's going to get a bunch of publicity with the company that, whether you believe it or not, isn't responsible for the death of her husband, then to each their own. The thing that I'm concerned about is if after this, it's going to be a yearly thing where you get a trophy like an Andre the Giant trophy. I mean, we saw how that battle royal turned out and it's no longer in existence. So is this going to be a thing where after 1 year of doing it, it's going to be burned to the ground where you're just like, all right, cool. We get it. You're honoring him. Awesome. But what is it going to be won by Orange Cassidy? You're going to have John Silver win this tournament. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're going to host it, you should make it worth your while and use it to elevate another star and not just cash in on the name of Owen Hart himself.
That's how it should be. Yeah, that's how it should be. And but the WWE would have screwed it up anyways. They would have messed it up. They would have freaking came out all cheesy and all wrong, and probably would have been worse off than it in the beginning anyways. So the fact that they didn't do it there, I'm perfectly fine with it, because I don't trust the WWE would have done it any justice anyways. Vince would have thrown it away. It would have been won by some chump that doesn't need to win it. And like you said, it would have been like Andre the Giant Battle Royal would have just disappeared after a couple of years. And he would have been like, well, hey, I did it. I'm over. I'm done with it. I'm moving on. Times change. Time for something new. You know, so the fact that she went to another company, I totally get it. I get why she did it. And I don't blame her in a way. You know, she holds animosity for the company. Like, if I was in her shoes, I might feel the same way.
Right.
It's a direct competition. Well, all right, wait, sure, stop. But.
We can't sit on this, because we'll talk about this whole episode. It's a year in review, and this shit didn't even happen yet.
fair.
But it did get announced. It was something to talk about. And no, I agree with everything you guys said, though. So maybe I'm not as angry about it happening there now. You might have just changed my mind a little bit. don't think it's going to be a regular occurrence.
Right.
What else has gone on this year? Let's talk current. I want to talk about Hook, because I've just been annoyed with this guy all afternoon long. And I kind of couldn't wait to get into a podcast so I could talk about how this guy just, I don't get wrestling fans. I don't get the logic behind so many wrestling fans. Like, this guy is a two-digit midget. He looks like he's never been to a gym in his life. He has the build of a freshman on the lacrosse team. Come on, man. Why is this guy a big deal? And why are they pushing him like he's a big deal? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and so
it's a meme. It's a meme. It's something that people just love to do. Like, Hook. I mean, I mean, you know me. I do it on occasion half the time. And it's like, for me, when I see the kid in action, I definitely see his dad, but I also see, you know, these technical wrestlers you see back in the day, guys like Dean Malenko, guys like, you know, the original Tiger Mask. It's like, I don't know. He looks like he looks like a throwback wrestler, except Next Generation. I mean, I get it's not people's cup of tea, but in hindsight, I think you have another homegrown talent you could build upon. Something I wish they could have did with Dominic, because I can't lie to you, I'm kind of getting annoyed with that kid.
He is AEW's Dominic Mysterio. Exactly what he is.
Done right.
Thing, let me blow your mind, because when we were arguing about this off camera, I looked up his height and his weight out of sheer curiosity. Mm. The motherfucker is 6 feet even, and 202 pounds is what I looked at. I compared him to X-Pac just because I was like, X-Pac was always known as the smallest guy on the roster in the WWF. X-Pac
sucks.
Yeah,
dude, X-Pac sucks. The term X-Pac heat is around for a reason. So that just goes to what I say about Hook. I think this guy's just a flash in the pan. He's nothing. Like, sure, he's exciting. I get that. But he's not believable. Like, you can't tell me that this 202-pound, 6-foot guy is going to be a world champion. He outweighs me by 10 pounds. I bet you I could beat his ass, and I'm not even in really good shape. Maybe not, because the kid can fight. But, I mean, put him against a big guy.
Yeah, but what's the roster comprised of? Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, Fuego del Sol, MJF, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, which I know we'll get to those fucks later. But it's like, that roster is chock full of Hooks.
So vanilla midget, vanilla midgets.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I guess.
You know, so it's like, I mean, now let me be clear. I want this on audio. I hate All Elite Wrestling. Let me just put that right now, so it's on the record, so people can go back and hear this when they're done in 5 years. Now, that being said, I do enjoy Hook because of all the people that are there. He's a little different, which, thank fucking Christ, he doesn't work the indie, I'm going to hit you with a Canadian destroyer, but I'm going to name it something different. And then I'm going to super kick you in the face kick out at one for me, would you? And then get up in like 3 seconds and suplex me. Because, duh, that makes sense. But I digress. I'll leave that because year in review, I won't go on a tangent. But
oh, you spend the whole time in the year in review talking about spot monkeys and spot monkey bullshit that's happened. It's been a year of spot monkeys.
Yeah, sure. Right? The title, right? Smark, Spot Monkeys, and Superkick. That's two-thirds right there.
Right. And we're the Smarks. So what are you going to do?
That's right. And, you know, speaking of vanilla midgets, the Undisputed Era have jumped ship from NXT to AEW in a matter of the alternative. We want the company that we were beating in ratings. We want their guys on our show. That's what we want, right?
Is it just me or I'm getting tired of the Undisputed Era? I mean, there's some members there are some members I like, especially Kyle. That's been my boy for years, but okay. Don't get me wrong. I used to like the Undisputed Era back in the day, but over the years, they just got overdone. I'm like, let this shit die already.
And then it finally dies and they go to AEW and revive it.
They've only been teaming together in since 2010. So 11 years that they've been together, almost 12 now.
And I'd like to say this right now. There's this meme going around the internet right now. And it annoys me because there's a lot of idiots that don't understand anything about wrestling and they see a meme and they take it for real. The Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole were not a faction in Ring of Honor. That picture is a picture of all the current Ring of Honor champions at the time they took the picture. And in the picture was also Matt Taven, but they crop it out for that meme to say that WWE ripped it off from Ring of Honor. They were not a team. Kyle O'Reilly teamed with Adam Cole at one time, but they broke up. And then Red Dragon was its own thing. And it happened that Red Dragon and Adam Cole both had titles in Ring of Honor at the same time. So they weren't a faction. And all these idiots that are trying to say that WWE stole it from Ring of Honor. It's funny because all the people that are saying that are like, oh, it's all these idiots that only watch WWE. And it's like, you're the idiot because you just proved that you don't watch Ring of Honor because you thought that they were a faction in Ring of Honor.
Also, first things first, Kyle and Adam were a team before that. They were called Future Shock way back at PWG. So I was like, okay, that's cool. Just do some research instead of just being stupid.
Right.
That stuff like that is like, okay, yeah. Okay, y'all haven't finished middle school yet. So okay.
And that's my exact point. This company has been around for a little over 2, now almost 3 years, AEW, and what are our new stars that we've
pronouns, pal.
Yeah, right, exactly. what are our new stars that we've got? WWE rejectee, WWE rejectee, WWE rejectee, WWE rejectee, WWE rejectee, legend, legend, legend. Hey, have you guys seen Paul White or Mark Henry anywhere?
Somewhere. Yeah, Mark Henry is on Rampage.
Dynamite.
He tells Rampage. That stupid. Yeah. He does that stupid thing before the match. Yeah.
Time for the main event. Yeah,
Paul White, Ben.
It's so horrible. Too.
Whatever it's called, Dark.
Whatever
that one's called.
I like Mark Henry, but that whole thing he does when it's time for the main event. It's so obvious that he's reading it off a cue card. It's like, dude, do you not know the line? You've done it enough that you should know the line. You don't have to read it off a cue card because it sounds so ridiculous when he says it. It's time for the main event. It's like, come on, man.
Trying so hard to be Bruce Buffer and shit.
Right. It's like, I don't care to see you at all. There's a reason, as much as I also hate WWE. Let me put that for the record too. I hate WWE. Let's make sure both of those make sure that's loud and fucking crystal for everybody. There's a reason that company let all these guys go. They only tried to keep a couple for producer reasons, right? But when we come back in another year, I could almost put money that anything they've done this year, it won't matter. You won't remember it, you know? I can't tell you who Bobby Fish has fought in the last 3 or 4 weeks that's mattered. You know, Bryan Danielson's been back for how long? And he's had 2 or 3 okay matches with Kenny Omega and Adam Page now. Cool. Okay. So what's going to happen in 6 months?
He's had like 14 matches too. That's the crazy part about it.
Oh, really?
All of the Dark Order, one by one.
Oh, yes. Because when I wanted to see Kane, I wanted him versus the Job Squad because that's what I wanted to see on my Raw television.
That's That's the whole thing. That my whole issue with AEW is they don't know how to use all these guys they bring in. Tony Khan is just signing a bunch of new toys and he wants to play with all of them, but he doesn't want.
Yeah.
But he can't play with all of them, so he does a horrible job with all of them. It's just look at how many people don't even get on TV anymore.
Yeah,
half of the guys.
I think it's more of. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ray.
I think it's more of the point. It's like if you really, really want to see the guys that you want, guys and girls want to see, just like, I don't know. It's like how I do with hip hop. Like a lot of people say, oh, hip hop's dead. Like, okay, that's your opinion. But if you don't know, hip hop is thriving. So I don't know. Search online, search underground hip hop, and you'll find something. So in a sense, just find the person that you like. And just go online, see their matches, and then you become a fan. I think that says a lot about people who just wants to see like mainstream wrestling. It's like, okay, you want to see the person that you like, but they're not showcased. Okay, just
well, because you have to watch right. They force you to watch the other shows. They force you to watch Dark and Elevation, so you can watch all their younger guys and watch their matches, and then don't watch Dynamite. That's for all the older guys. You want to see all the younger new guys? Go watch Dark and Elevation and Rampage. That's what they want you to do. And then they'll just keep putting in the Dynamite will just be the same older guys. All the guys like your same storylines. It's the same storylines now all the time. They've gotten into this like competitive thing now where it's just storylines.
I love the AEW fans. Use the argument that this is long-term storytelling. And when WWE does long-term storytelling, it's the worst thing in the world, and they're mad because it's dragging on too long.
That's what it is. It's one by one. It's one story at a time. And it's the same stories every week, which is just like WWE does all the time. And so WWE does the exact same thing. You're going to see the same people on WWE every week, too. And they have two completely different shows.
Right, right.
With two totally different rosters. And you still only see the same people on those shows all the time.
Right now, part of it's because of COVID. So
everybody's true, that's part of it too. Yeah.
Can we talk? Wait, I want to talk about COVID real quick. So can we talk about what just happened with the WWE? And I don't know if you guys have seen this yet.
I actually heard about that. I heard least favorite person, Rollins, got
well, COVID, no. So it gets better than this. So there's a bunch of people that have COVID, right? They have had the issue with now they can't wrestle because of COVID. So today, WWE released an email out to everyone saying that it's no longer requiring COVID testing. To me, I'm like, well, if you don't take a test, you can't be fucking positive, so we can't make you go home. So,
oh, that's terrible.
But yeah, they're no longer requiring COVID testing in order to be able to perform. So I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Here's my thoughts. I think they're looking at it as, wait, why are we going to mandatorily make you test? And if you don't have any symptoms and most of the roster is already vaccinated, I think they fired everybody that wasn't vaccinated anyway. So everybody's vaccinated. If you don't have any symptoms, we're not going to send you home. We're going to make you still come to work. If you have symptoms, go get a test. That's my thoughts, but I don't know if that's the whole thing of what it said. And if they're saying, if you have the vaccine or if you show symptoms, go get tested, but it was technically, you had to mandatorily get tested every week in order to perform that week. But with this whole thing happening and them losing guys on a day one, no longer required testing, I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah. I don't know if you're right or wrong, like if how that will affect anything. But if I'm being completely honest, I'm to the point now where I don't care. All I care about is what on my TV screen, you know? Like if they have, that's the one thing I do hate about WWE is like, they don't ever say, hey, this person's not here because of the disease that everybody fucking knows about. Like, just be real, blanket statement. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, this wrestler cannot compete. Cool. Boom. My storyline character, it makes sense. Da da da. You know, whatever. It's not a point where you just
ignore it. They're trying to keep kayfabe alive, man.
Yeah. And like, but even kayfabe, this transcends kayfabe at this point, you know, we're in the world where even on your team, like I've watched an episode of NCIS the other day and they're wearing masks.
I hate that.
You know, and it's like, and I hate it too, but I get it. I understand because it's a real life thing. So fuck
but it's
it.
Not. Whatever. That's my point. Like, that's, yeah. I hate that part of it. It's not, and wrestling's the same thing. It's not real. We know it's not real. So stop trying to make it real.
Right.
Like, keep it way, go one direction or the other. And I hate that on television too. I don't watch NCIS, but like, I don't watch that show thinking it's a real life show.
Right, right.
I watch it because I know it's fake and I'm just invested in the characters. So when you put in real life stuff into something that's supposed to be fake, it totally makes it not worth it. It totally screws it up. WWE's the same way. When you put real life stuff into something that's supposed to be fake, it messes it all up. So the fact that
but that was what made WCW big in the late 90s, in the 90s, was the fact that they started bringing real life shit into professional wrestling. And that's
but it was part of the show. It was part of, like, I get what you're saying, like they would bring in like real life issues, but they didn't bring like social justice issues into fucking WWE. You know what I mean? You don't have like, you don't talk about race and freaking all that crap on WWE. They don't bring real world stuff into wrestling.
I get it. For a lot of people, it's your escape to get away from all the issues.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to have to go to watch your thing that's your escape, and all of a sudden they're talking about all these things.
Like, what are they going to do? They're going to have them wear anyway. They're going to be wearing masks on their face while they're wrestling in the ring.
Oh my God, that would be hilarious.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's kind of like, I mean, they don't do that, which is, they shouldn't do that, but you see my point? Like, if are the commentators who are sitting on the sidelines who aren't participating, are they going to wear a mask the whole time like they do in the NBA or they do in, you know, the NFL?
And that's why
wear masks on the sidelines.
Yeah, that's why it's such a weird world. Wrestling is so interesting, because you have that half and half of, we want to bring you the drama Game of Thrones brings you, but we want to bring you the action that Monday Night Football gives you. Right. You know, like, you can never, ever find that perfect medium.
And we want to bring you the reality that Jersey Shore brings you. It's not really reality, but it kind of is.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it's like, and that's why I don't watch it. Honestly, that's why I don't watch WWE, and I don't watch AEW, because I would want something that's a true alternative. And when I turn on the screen, it's like I'm watching an episode of Raw from 2013, or I'm watching an episode of NXT from 6 months ago.
With a bunch of midgets in place of the wrestlers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I
trying to be super serious.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, and I know, once again, we're not going to dwell on too many things over and over again, but it's like, just the state of modern wrestling for me, it's such a fucking, especially after this year, like, what are we going into next year? Brock and Roman, cool, not,
yeah,
I'm on that. I just watched something from 4 years ago that had both of them involved. Like, I don't,
I'd rather have that than what I'm getting in AEW, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. What are you getting in AEW? You're getting a
Daniel Bryan versus Hangman Page, Hangman Page should have been done a long time ago, and they fucked up by dragging it out too long because he kept getting new toys and didn't know what he was gonna do.
I mean, for fuck's sake, Sting's still wrestling. What the hell?
He's 61 and he's still doing actually semi-decent.
Here's the thing. If he were to be wrestling in WWE, everybody would be mad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what's annoying about it. And I think a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people get mad at the people who hate on AEW. But I think that people don't understand that it's not so much AEW that we hate. It's the AEW fans that we hate that hold these double standards. It's like, no, just be the same across the board. If you said, well, that sucks here, say it sucks here too, because it's the same shit. And if it sucks on this show, it sucks on this show. It's not better because you like this brand better. Fuck off. Right. That's annoying. Yeah. And it makes me against you, that brand, because I'm just like, fuck your whole show.
that's how I felt with NXT.
Yeah, and I agree with you, but I hate AEW fans, management, it's booking, all of it. I hate all of it. We're just right there. It's not, none of it's compelling. None of it's interesting. Like, here's the thing. If I watch one show and in that show, I see the same move across five different matches from five different guys, What makes it stronger? What makes it more compelling? What makes yours better? What makes your German better than a Brock German? What makes your lariat clothesline better than just hitting the normal ropes? Like that, that's the shit where I'm like, you lose me in the believability because we watch this to escape, but I can't escape when everything's the same fucking thing. I watched, for context, I watched a match between Johnny Valentine and Antonio Rocca from 40, 50 years ago, and I was more by that than I was with what I watched because it was different. They were wrestling different than what I'm seeing now 50 years ago, and it was more interesting because it was
because now everybody just all like
it's fun. It's funny because it's not different anymore.
Yeah,
well, yeah. Like I said, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, Sean. It's like for me, and for disclaimer, people, I am an AEW fan. But I definitely see a lot of the positives and negatives. So there's that. For me, especially when I'm on Twitter, I see a lot of old wrestling clips of moves that like that are unbreakable, pin, 1, 2, 3, that's it. And I definitely see that with a lot of wrestling that, oh boy. One of the reasons I got away from the NXT. Oh my God. Just the kickouts.
Yeah.
That shit pissed me off so much. Like, whenever Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano face, especially Gargano, like, bruh.
Oh,
like,
God.
Canadian Destroyer, kick out. Super kick, kick out. Last call or boom, whatever, kick out.
Yep.
Interference, kick out.
Yep.
Lather, rinse, repeat. And it's like, for me, okay, you can build the storyline was like, okay, you can kick out in any time. A7 finisher, but when you kick out of like an impossible finisher, like I don't know, if you lose to a burning hammer, okay, but if you kick out of a burning hammer, I'm like, huh,
right?
Like I definitely get the sides of that. For me with AEW, like, and I definitely agree with someone that I agree with Twitter. I don't know, mainstream wrestling for me, like I, especially watching it live, that can get a little jarring because for me, I especially like when I'm doing something, I'm like in and out of sleep. I see this, like, oh my God, it's not over. Okay. Here's a fun story.
Yep.
Danielson versus Hangman. That whole match. Okay. I was in and out of sleep, and I'm like, oh my God, it's not over yet. Okay. I was entertained, but in hindsight, I'm like, okay. You did a match. You did the whole, draw time limit draw thing. Yep. Okay, that's cool. But I've already seen that like twice already. Once AEW, second in Pro Wrestling NOAH, which I feel like they did it much better because, you know, Japan, Heart Strikes, Warrior Spirit, blah blah blah, anime BS. But I get that. That's Japan. But when you see it in mainstream, and especially in the U.S., I feel like that's trying too hard. So I feel like, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm, like, falling out of love with wrestling. It's just a lot of things that are just annoying me. I was like, okay. Instead of just saying, complain something, I'm just like, let me do something different instead of just, like, watching the same old, because, like, for me, I'm not used to like watching too much. That annoys me.
Right.
That's something I'm trying to get rid of because hate watching is the most toxic thing seen to do. So instead of just like doing something else. That's the way I see it.
Right. I'm gonna tag in here because I'm gonna hop on your thing with another issue. So right. Then there's with the storytelling with that specific match, right? So Puff brought up the long term storytelling, right? So your long storytelling is that Omega and Brian, and now keep in mind, I don't watch. This is what was told to me by the fans because I genuinely do not watch the show. So Omega and Brian went 30 minutes, time limit draw, no title on the line. Okay, cool. Adam Page beat Omega on pay-per-view in under 30 minutes. Okay, cool. Then him and Daniel go a whole hour with a draw, right? So if your storytelling is that the guy that was your champion for over 200 years lost in under 30 minutes to a new guy and drew with a guy who has been world champion and has been on top for a very long time in Daniel Bryan. So your storytelling is that Omega's the weakest of the three. And if you're trying to tell me that Adam Page is the strongest, but you go back and he lost a tag title match to the Young Bucks so long ago, and also couldn't beat Jericho at your very first pay-per-view because he was a saddened drunk. If that's the story you're trying to tell me, then why the fuck do I care if Daniel Bryan wants another hour limit match with judges? Why do I care? What is the intrigue?
Yeah, that judge thing's kind of bullshit. I can't lie to you.
You know what I'm saying? So if you
want
this long-term storytelling and you want to tell me that's a long-term story, cool. Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan was a long-term story, and that made sense. Randy Savage and Hogan was a long-term story over a year built, and those
that was really good, actually.
You know what I'm saying? All of those made sense because the characters that we're watching were doing things throughout the weeks that progressed it. They weren't just off TV being drunk and then having random matches and still losing and still drunk. Right.
That I don't care. Even Hogan and Warrior, and Hogan and Warrior was face first face. They built that up well. Yeah. So Hogan Slaughter built it up well. The story was told. But these stories aren't really stories. It's just like, watch this guy fight a bunch of matches. Now he's going to fight for the title.
Yeah,
it sounds like a discombobulated mess. It's like reading a Marvel comic.
Yeah, and the comic published ago, and it's a totally different universe than what you just read this week.
Right.
Draws are pointless. They're pointless to do. They don't do anything for anybody. Anyone thinks it keeps both guys strong, it doesn't doesn't hurt one or the other. It actually hurts both of them because of exactly what you just said. Because you're saying that they can't beat each other, but other people can beat them. Mm-hmm. And they can beat other people, but they can't beat each other. That doesn't make any sense.
Yep. There's a reason why Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, Mania 12, Gorilla Monsoon said, fuck it, we're going into overtime. Why?
Yeah.
Because nobody won. Oh my God.
Nobody wants to tie.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody wants a tie. There's no point in ties. They took it out of hockey. They don't even have it in football. So they still have it in football. And nobody likes it. Nobody likes ties.
I will say that there were time limit draws back in the day. If you go back and read any of my old Flashback Fridays on geekshavegame.com, you will find a couple times that there were definitely draws on old school WWE cards,
that was to build somebody up
it was more just like two bums that they didn't really give two fucks about.
Well,
so the match would just end in a draw. It's a time when the draw, they usually like, okay,
just to have something different,
right? Yeah. Like they just did that. That was dumb.
But you don't do that with your champions or your top tier guys. You don't do that because it doesn't make one better than the other. It just makes them both the same. You haven't gained anything by having them be a draw. You didn't gain anything.
Really, anything can work. You can make any bullshit thing work.
Sure.
I mean, Elimination Chamber is stupid, but when Eric Bischoff created it in 2002, you were like, son of a bitch, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of these guys want to fight, and what are we going to put them in? All of you guys are pissing me off, so you're going to fight in the most hellacious match ever. I mean, the first ever Hell in a Cell, what was the point of that? To keep Triple H and China out of the ring. And then Kane came in and fucking ripped the door open because, oh my God, long-term storytelling. And it made sense. And it's the thing we all hate. How does this?
Right.
It doesn't make sense, but it's not good wrestling. They didn't get to see 30 submission holds and the Undertaker. Shut the fuck up. It can work. It can work if the guy who's running the ship can guide the fucking ship. But this Tony Khan motherfucker can't fucking save his toys to save his life. He doesn't even know where his toy box is. That's how lost this motherfucker is.
He's a mark for himself and everybody he signs.
Yeah. I think when people say long-term storytelling nowadays, it's like, it's more of this makes sense in their head instead of just like looking at reality. You know what I mean?
Right, right. It doesn't like, if the match takes a long time to happen, they call it long-term storytelling, even if there isn't a story being told.
Yep.
Right.
But I don't know. It's absolutely ridiculous with all that shit. not looking forward to Hangman Page versus Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, whatever the hell his name is, at all. So I don't really care about
for an hour.
For another hour.
For another hour, because you know it's going to go.
The judge thing's annoying me. Yeah.
But you know it's going to go an hour long and it's going to go to the judges, right?
It'll come to a split decision, so I'll do a third one.
It's okay. Oh, God. If you don't like it, you can watch Cody Rhodes as the other singles champ, because that's what we want to fucking see on our TV.
I'm so glad that you brought him up, because I want to... I'm so glad that you brought him up, because I want to talk about... I want to get serious for a moment. I want to talk about... I want to talk about how Cody Rhodes single-handedly ended racism.
Damn right. Damn right.
Damn, listen, I like Cody Rhodes. I really do. I just love how much he pisses off the crowd. Like, oh God! When I heard about the spoiler, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna save that for later. And when it happened, I could not stop laughing. I just went straight to Twitter, and I know motherfuckers was just, no, why he won? Now it's gonna be boring. I'm like, okay. Okay, yeah. Just look at greatness in front of you in the next couple weeks.
Yeah,
because let's be fair, and I like Sammy Guevara, but his title reign is kind of boring.
I hate Sammy Guevara; he's the worst. The guy looks like he's the worst.
Hey guys, who did Sammy beat? Oh yeah, he beat that
Miro.
That former guy. Where is he?
Monologuing.
Probably COVID.
Oh, yeah, he lost right, to Brian. He's just gone now, right? We just don't see him now.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's cool. Sure, I'm sorry.
Miro is.
And then everybody, those people that have it. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how many guys have went in 2021. Let's talk about the guys who have went to AEW from WWE, and are now just lost
there.
They're all, most of them are lost there. If the ones who aren't are Daniel Bryan, because he's in the main event. And that's kind of it. I'll even say that CM Punk is lost. I mean, he was just tag teaming with Sting and Darby Allin. While it was cool for the idea of it, it makes no fucking sense. And it's like, that's where you're going with this.
It's to build the MJF like feud. That's the idea behind it. Why? He's just on the next guy because that's the next guy in line that he needs to feud with. Then he'll go on to somebody. He'll go on to another young guy after that. And another one. This will be like, Ricky Starks will be the next one. And then it'll be, you know, some other young guy. That's all he's here for. He's just here to just wrestle and give like a showcase for the younger guys. That's the idea behind him.
Yeah. And where's the revival? Oh, yeah. They're champions of a Mexican.
They
were in that match. Remember that. FTR was in that match against Sting.
Yeah, they took the loss to Sting.
They ate the pin, didn't they?
They ate the pin. Yeah, they did. They ate the pin.
To Sting. Okay. To Sting. This great tag team. This was one of the greatest tag teams. Everybody was so happy that they were going to AEW. They are eating pinfalls for Sting.
Weren't
they supposed to feud with the Young Bucks? They never did.
Yeah, they did.
They did.
It just got dragged out and nobody cared about it.
Ty Dillinger is on Dark, I think, this week, which is cool.
Oh yeah,
that's
Sammy, Sean Spears.
Yes.
Yeah. He's on Dark. That's fine. Let's see. Ruby Soho is gonna fight for their minor title. That's cool. All right, good. I'm so glad that that's better for you than being on Raw. That's cool. All right. Neat. Anybody else of interest? Oh no. Okay. Sorry.
We still didn't really talk about how Cody, stopped racism, though. I mean, that's like the story. Cody Rhodes got rid of racism by having a mixed baby.
Dude, and the best reality TV show since Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Rhodes to the Top. Can't do that.
I low key like it. I mean, so
I watched it, Raiden. They loved it too with you. I think they loved it.
I don't watch all of it, but for me, I'm the type of person who just like to see inner workings of a company. So it's like, you know, training, all that stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm a very technical person. I just like seeing inner workings, see how things work and shit.
Sure, but I could enjoy that. I can watch that without having a couple as the main focus. We don't need that part. You can do a behind the scenes show each week, like they do with Hard Knocks in the NFL. You can see like behind the music or, you know, behind the scenes kind of stuff without having the reality TV drama with it. I don't need to hear about Cody and Brandy shit. You could just talk about the inner workings of wrestling. That's fine. But we don't need the Brandy Rhodes crap.
But then we need the Miz. But then they have to come up with a different name.
Well, yeah, I know. They've come up with a different name because it's all reality television. That's all it's about. Basically. It's all reality television. It's really nothing to do with the outside. They don't give a shit about the inner workings. That's why they don't really show you anything.
Right.
They don't give a shit about that. It's all the reality television stuff.
Right. Because people just eat that shit up. And that's where we are as a society today. But what else?
I think you said this one time, Sean. It's like, people cater to stupid people. And stupid people eat that shit up like cereal.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah, you're trying to finding out that Lee Johnson and James and what's the really cute girl in
Julia Hart?
Yeah, they're dating. That's what I wanted to find out.
Oh, you mean they smashing?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear about.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't care about the reality TV stuff of it. No one does.
I want backstage stuff. I'll listen to the thousands of podcasts that are out there that are far more entertaining and take way less time to listen to.
Right.
Can I watch a little bit of video game wrestling or whatever, you know? Especially like some 2K universe modes that actually have people who do things differently and would easily work in real time.
Yeah. I am really fearful for the year 2022 because it seems like nobody is taking from the past and learning from it and trying to improve upon it.
No, they just want to do something different. And they want to say that everything has to change and wrestling's for everybody. And we should just let people like things.
But the thing is it's not changing. It's all the same.
Listen, you can't just let people like things. When you just let people like things, you get the Island Boys.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on those clowns, Brent.
Right. If you put on an episode of Raw from 2007 and watch tonight's episode, it's not going to be much different. You'll see probably some of the same guys even. It's nothing is different. Everybody wants to change. If you watch an episode of Nitro and watch an episode of Dynamite, you're not going to see much difference. You know,
or watch a WWE episode from 97.
Right. It's like everybody wants to say that they're changing the game and doing stuff different. It's all the same. And you're not even improving upon the bad shit. You're just redoing the bad shit with different people.
My biggest problem with AEW is that there's just too many spots. I hate when I have to watch you run around the ring and do a bunch of things and you look over and you see all your partners and your opponents standing around hugging each other, waiting for you to jump. And then they move so that they can try to catch you, which 8 out of 10 times, you don't even really hit the hold and you fall on your face anyway.
Dude, I go back to the very beginning where the whole idea was we are going to be a sports-based production and we're going to do things by the book, and we're going to show you what wrestling is all about. There have been almost no ref bumps at all, which is cool, but there are no disqualifications ever. The only counts I ever hear are for pinfalls, and that's sometimes. I don't ever see rope breaks unless the match story calls for it. When's the last time you've seen a tag team partner tag into their partner? Because I can't tell you the last time I've seen that. And if they do, it's a fucking, this is not a tag. I don't care who you are. I just watched No Way Out 2004, and I watched the APA versus World's Greatest Tag Team in a bullshit-ass match, but there were no backslap tags. You know how much easier it is to have somebody in a hold and instead of them tagging your back? All you do is this. It's a second motion, and it's a tag. And I'm not trying to be a heckler on rules, but you gotta have some. It seems like there's almost none.
My biggest rule I want is I want my wrestlers to look like wrestlers. Well, so we don't have that.
Like going back to What, like you want to go back to Jim Crockett Promotions and see that?
No, we don't have to go back to Jim Crockett Promotions, but I just want my wrestlers to look like wrestlers. I want my wrestlers to look like somebody that I couldn't just see on the street and beat their ass.
And Raiden, I'm really glad you said that because I need to set the record straight. Because so many people are like, oh, whenever I say anything, they're always like, oh, Sean just wants it to be the year 1989 all over again. No, I don't. I don't want it to be back then. I just want it to make sense. That is all I ever ask for. When you watch the finale of Dexter and he just became a lumberjack, spoiler alert, in case you didn't watch the fucking show. So you're like, what the fuck? I've invested all this time and this ending didn't make sense. The end of Game of Thrones, you build up to
God. Don't get me started on that fucking thing.
Soprano,
but it's like you build all this up and then you don't deliver. I'm gonna have the same issue. It's the same with the Marvel universe now. When they do the things they do, as long as it makes sense for the story they're trying to tell, perfect. That's all I ask. I just want it to make sense. And when it's something that I've been involved in, I have trained to professionally wrestle. I have ran wrestling shows myself. I have booked wrestling shows. I have gone over matches with individuals. I've done all of this stuff in my own life. And when I see it on the big screen and I'm like, my guy's in the bingo hall.
You can name drop here. This is a safe space.
But let's just say what you got to say. You
know? But it's like I've helped these guys that are no names in the state of Michigan. And they've put on better stories than the guys that are on TV in any capacity, whether it's Ring of Honor, Impact, MLW, AEW, WWE. A lot of these guys don't put together stories that make sense. And I've got Joe Mo and Billy Bob at the Bingo Hall in Downriver, Michigan, and they can put on a better story than these guys can. I mean, it just, my brain can't comprehend how there's been over 60 years of wrestling on television and nobody, right. I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. It genuinely does not make sense that we've been around for so long and still nobody can get it even remotely right.
I don't know. It's because everybody wants to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, but instead they just want to recreate what they saw in an episode of Nitro because they think it's funny. And it doesn't make
there's no sense being made in anything that happens. It just happens just to happen. And
I think they're going for the wrong sources.
There's no technology, there's no ring psychology anymore.
No,
match psychology.
Yeah.
How many beer bags have we seen since Austin brought the beer truck? How many times in a segment similar to that or something? I mean, I just saw in one of my group chats here, they're doing another wedding vows thing on Monday Night Raw. Who cares? What is new about that? What are they doing now that wasn't done when Kane married Lita 17 years ago?
Right.
You know? I feel like you're never gonna have that big star power Stone Cold ass. I'm just gonna use that.
I don't need the star power. I just want the show to make sense. But like you said earlier, people only care about one or two wrestlers. I don't give a fuck what show they're on. I just want to see Adam Cole do the baby, no matter where he is, because I want him to be happy.
Can I just say, I used to harbor a deep hatred for that man.
That's funny. I have a lot of deep hatred for a lot of people, so I can respect that. But let me say this. What you just said is it's true, but it's not true. So you're right that I just want to see Adam Cole say, do the baby. I don't care where it is. But they say that they want them to be happy, but they don't. Because what they don't get is a lot of these guys just go where they're going to get the money. It's about having the money and making the money that you're going to make to support your family. Some of these guys don't care that they're not being used on Raw. They don't give a shit. They're not putting their body at risk. They're getting a paycheck, and they're chilling in the back and hanging out with all their buddies.
I love that. I like that. That's the life right there. Like,
right.
You hang with your homies, you eat the catering, just see some of your guys watching. If you get used, like you get used for a bit, still collect your paycheck.
Right, that's, and you're getting paid like what you were paid in the initial, at the beginning of your contract when they were planning on doing big things with you. So you're getting paid like you're doing right. stuff big and you're not doing anything big. And people get mad at it and they're like, this is bullshit. Their career's being ruined. No, it's not really getting ruined because you're going to market for them wherever they go. So if they do leave WWE down the road, they'll be able to get a good deal somewhere because they know that there's marks like you that are going to like run out as soon as they get to see them somewhere and go pay that money. So they're going to make the money that they can make in WWE and sit in the back. And they're not mad about it. You think they're mad. You think that their career is ruined. These guys don't think they're mad. That's why they re-signed with WWE. Like Kevin Owens isn't stupid for re-signing with WWE. He just made his family set. He made his family set for the rest of his life. That's not stupid. He did what was best for his family, not what the fans want. Well, the fans might want to see him carrying the world title. But he doesn't care about that. He cares about knowing that he's solid here and he's gonna get the money to support his family. And that's what it's about. And if a lot of these fans who say that they just want the wrestlers to be happy, actually just wanted the wrestlers to be happy, they'd understand that. And they would be happy for the guys that are getting paid and not putting their body at risk and not hurting themselves out there hurting themselves. And instead are just sitting in the back making money. They'd say, this is great. My favorite wrestler doesn't even have to hurt himself. He's going to have a long career because he just spent 3 years at catering instead of having to put himself at risk in the ring.
And, nowadays, I'm getting that mindset instead of just like raging like I used to. It's like you see things from a different perspective instead of being a rage happy moron like I used to be. I mean, y'all see how much I get when it comes to stuff. But now it's like, I don't know. When you start working, when you start to do things for yourself, you get why people do what they do. Sometimes you understand, sometimes you don't understand, but you get it. And it's more of, okay, you're doing this for a reason. And it's like, okay, I respect it, instead of just being salty.
And that's why Kevin Owens is our one exception. Whereas everybody who was like, I'm going to leave WWE because I want to do my own thing and the fans want to see me do my own thing and I can bet on myself. Well, what the fuck have you done since then, bro? Like, of all the people that have left WWE, there is not one of them this year that has made a big impact anywhere. In fact, you know what? The only wrestler I've seen genuinely make a good living for themselves that have betted on themselves is Matt Cardona.
Yeah,
he's one of the one exceptions that is like, and he's smart because he knows the fans want to see him, so it doesn't fucking matter where he goes. He can work for AAW, GCW, all these lower level promotions, and the people are gonna fucking pay to see him because they don't give a fuck. And then they purposely do screwy finishes because they just paid to see him, and it's an ass backwards way of reliving the old days because you're trying something different. But that's nobody else knows how to do that, and everybody's like, if I go leave and I get to go be a wrestler, it's gonna be great. But nobody cares, you know. Buddy Murphy's in the PWG Battle of Los Angeles next year. Yeah, and that's cool, but I don't care about Buddy Matthews. That's not somebody I'm gonna go pay to see because I don't give a fuck. Like, not to be rude, I hope the guy does well. I don't wish ill to him, but he's a guy that isn't going to move ticket sales. And if he came to my local promotion and he was the only one, that's not going to draw me out to go see him, you know? And it's like, that's another reason why I just don't get why these companies can't make their brand the big brand. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. If you see the company name AEW or WWE, you should be excited because their talent is going to be there. And then you see what they put on, and you're like, what the fuck is this hogwash? Like, none of it makes, it's just, I can drone on and on about nothing making sense in modern wrestling anymore, because that's all there is anymore, is nothing. Nothing makes sense.
You're right.
Off topic with Matt Cardona, like, for me, I love what he's doing, especially with this whole major figure wrestling podcast. Like, that's the dream I want to do. Like, review action figures and shit, like go to stores and do this stuff. For me, that's the dream. Like,
it's almost, I mean, like
he does his reviews, and I know you know, Chelsea's still annoyed with it, but she still does it because she loves him, blah blah. But he's out there getting figures that he wants to get, and with his homie, just review wrestling figures, review old wrestling figures, like stuff like that. That's the life for me. It ain't always got to be the thing that you really want to do. It's just something you do on the side, and it's like it gives you extra money. Kind of like how these wrestlers do Twitch. Well, but unless you're in WWE, whatever.
That's gonna be so funny, because let me tell you this: they're about to change all the rules for how Twitch works and how it pays, mm-hmm. and what you have to pay for it. And these people are all these guys who think that they're doing so much better because they left WWE to do Twitch for the fans. First off, let me say this: you didn't leave WWE to do Twitch for the fans. You did it because you wanted to make more money off of Twitch. It's not for the fans. Basically, it's for you to make money off of it. So yeah. When you say that it's for the fans, you're full of shit. So stop lying and saying it's for the fans. You're doing it for the money. But when that all changes, watch how much they're gonna look at. Wow, I took a shittier deal in AEW than I would have had in WWE. So that I could go do Twitch and all these other little side things. And now I'm not able to make the money the same way that I was before. And it's all going to bite them all in the ass. And I'm going to laugh about it when it happens.
And Puff, I'm a tag in here too, because just like with Matt Cardona, he is the only guy that took his platform and elevated himself by partnering. He's making toys now. Like you said, he reviews them. Not only does he review, the motherfucker is making toys, because he was like, hey, if I've done this big company for such a long time and I know how merchandising works, I know how branding works. Hey, Jazzwares, you don't have a contract right now. Let's make an independent contract where I pay you to make toys for me. And then, hey, Danhausen, you're not signed anywhere. You want a toy and make a bunch of money? Give me money and I'll make you a toy. It's like, it's crazy how you use the platform you're on to elevate yourself, where everybody else is like, but I want to wrestle. I want to hurt myself in front of 30 people in Illinois. I want to do that. Can I do that, Vince? It's like, the fuck are you doing, dumbass? You can take the Kevin Owens deal and just be like, I'll be in a shit segment tonight, but guess what? My kids are fed really well and I'm not hurt. Crazy how that works out. It's like, you can love wrestling. That's fine. I love wrestling, but I also love making money and I love doing things that benefit me in the end. But when you go to these places, when you sign to AEW from WWE, your name value goes down. Your worth goes down. Your work rate goes down. It doesn't increase because nobody knows how to fucking work there. So now guess what? In 2 fucking years, what are you going to do when AEW is done? What happened to Sean Stasiak? What happened to the Sean O'Hares of the world? It's like all of them had nowhere to go because WWE didn't want them and they couldn't work. So they worked indies for a few years before saying, fuck it. Ask anybody that worked in OVW from 04, 05, 06, the Kenny Dykstras, the Johnny Jeters, all of those guys.
Kenny Dykstra at the last Evolve show I went to. He was in the crowd. He sat like almost right next to me. That's what Kenny Dykstra is doing. He's hanging out with me at Evolve shows.
You know what I mean? And it's because you decided to say, fuck you, WWE. I can go work anywhere and do my own thing. Like, AEW is cool. I get it. It's the hot new toy and they're on TNT and TBS. But in two, three years, you sure they're still going to be there? You sure people are still going to care?
No, I think they'll still be there. I definitely don't see them going anywhere, but I still think it's just, it is a different product because they're looking to put on a bunch of vanilla midgets, a bunch of two digit midgets that don't really matter, instead of putting on wrestlers who are wrestlers. It's about flying around and doing flippy shit. It's who can do the most flippy things in a match rather than who can put on the best match. For them, work rate isn't, when you talk to a lot of those fans, work rate isn't the same as when you and I say work rate. Work rate for them is who's flying around the ring the most.
oh yeah, if they had their way, Phoenix is the best wrestler of all time, and he is by far one of the worst.
Right.
I'm a super heavyweight in wrestling.
Yeah. Dude, you know how much...
You don't even need to be a super heavyweight. I just want my wrestlers to look like wrestlers.
I hear you. But, you know, like, super heavyweights back then, especially in Japan, they were like this. You know, you had your Vaders, you had your Stan Hansons, you had your Kenta Kobashis, you had your Kawadas, you had your Misawas, you had guys that, you know, big bills, they weren't like, you know, the most attractive, but when you see those guys, they got shit done. Oh, of course, you got your Dr. Death Steve Williams, you got your Scott Nortons, you get your Bam Bam Bigelows, you get those type of guys that fuck shit up. And I feel like now you have a current guy that's like an all Japan throwback and Walter who actually does great matches in NXT UK, a brand that no one talks about. And you guys know me, I will forever slander that brand. But I know that they have that dope ass wrestlers there who were also stiff. But sadly, they don't get talked about as much. It's like, you see, of course, you know, Porter says himself, like, you have these spot monkeys, like, be the main draw, spot monkeys, vanilla midgets, because that's what appeals to the mainstream crowd. But you have a core crowd like us, who still likes the flippy stuff-ish, but it's an overabundance.
I mean, did Dean Malenko ever fight Hulk Hogan?
I don't think so.
No, did Psychosis ever fight Goldberg for the U.S. title?
Nope.
No? Oh, okay.
And if he did, it was like a 3-minute squash match.
Yeah. That's
what I mean. And it made sense. Like, and I love Psychosis. It's not a knock on him. I love Dean Malenko. But there's a reason why when Vince Russo was like, bro, Billy Kidman and Hulk Hogan, that's going to draw money, bro. And it didn't, because it didn't make any amount of sense for Kidman to beat Hulk Hogan. And that was when Hulk was 45 and old.
Right.
You know, it's like, you got to understand, like, just because I have money doesn't mean I can wrestle. I trained. I tried. And I, you know, and the thing is could I do it? Sure. But I won't. I couldn't put, like, I can't beat anybody because it doesn't make sense. Like, right. I could let somebody beat me because I'm a 6-foot, 230-pound guy that looks okay in a singlet and can do the part, but my job would be to put the other guy over because, lo and behold, I learned how to do that. But I wouldn't expect to go over some 250, 6-foot-5 guy because it doesn't make sense.
Right. You know, Here's the thing. There's a large portion of fans that would want you to go over because you look like them.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. It's not about who's more talented and who's more believable of being the guy. It's who looks more like me so I could hang on to the idea that maybe I could be the champion, because the guy that's a champion now looks like me. So I could be champion too.
Right.
And back then, didn't you want to be like Hulk Hogan instead?
I did. I wanted to train, sing my prayers, eat my vitamins, and get big like Hulk Hogan.
Didn't you want to be like the Ultimate Warrior? Didn't you want to be, you know, you wanted to have all the money like Ric Flair did. You know, it's like before you wanted to be the Superman, the Iron Man. You wanted to be them. Now you want them to be you. Like, how does that make sense?
It doesn't.
You know, right.
But that's modern wrestling fans. Listen,
that's the year in review, folks.
Right, seriously. No, but all right. Let's, before we get out of here, there's two things I want to talk about, but I'm gonna save one for the second half because it's a big list to talk about. I want to talk about wrestlers that were released in 2021, and they're just from WWE. So we'll talk about that on the second half. But before we get out of here, I want to talk about the fact that this year we saw the end. We saw GCW explode and become like a huge thing. And we saw the end of Ring of Honor.
And yet Impact is still here, baby. Who the fuck asked that?
Like a damn cockroach. And this is coming from a former Impact fan. And yes, I mean, former.
Same. I defended Impact for so long this year because I was like, their stories are simple, they make sense, they're, you know, and it's like, but now if you turn on an episode now, they've got undead brides wrestling, they've got the same, you know, it's like none of it makes any sense anymore either. And it's like, it's surprising that that company gave me the biggest oh shit moment, and also has just been like, what, who cares anymore? It's insane. It blows my mind that a company can do that. But like Ring of Honor, their final battle was,
I think, AEW part of that. Let me just say this real quick. Impact, part of their whole issue is the partnership that they have with AEW now. So now you started bringing over some AEW fans. So you have to do all kind of stupid shit to keep those idiots there.
Well, that killed them. That killed them. That partnership, because it's no longer. I mean, when's the last time you saw Gallows and Anderson on AEW TV?
Yeah, that partnership ended and they didn't keep it going, probably because Impact was gaining nothing off of it.
No, and now that was AEW for being on their show. The only thing it gave us was a really mediocre match between Christian Cage and Omega.
Right.
That's it. And it's like, and poor Ring of Honor.
And I also point this out that some people didn't even realize. Christian Cage didn't sign with Impact. He signed with AEW anyway. So they didn't even need to have that whole thing with Impact in order to have that match.
Yep, and now he's managing Jungle Boy,
which will turn on him real soon.
Yeah, and it's, but I don't care.
Me no.
Why is Jungle Boy not your TNT champion right now? That blows my fuck. But that's, you know, that's a conversation right. for another day. But it's like Ring of Honor has completely shit the bed, and their final battle, in my opinion, was a complete dud.
It was.
You know, and it's like, and now there's two companies I do want to talk about that I'm curious. I don't know if it'll be good, but I am curious to see where they go in 2021 or 2022, and that's GCW, because I think they are now turning into ECW in a good way right now. We'll see if that continues on next year, especially if we can get, like, I think in 2022, if GCW gets a TV deal, then it's game time. Then it'll really be interesting to see where they go from there.
I don't like that, though, because I think it's going to change what they are. That GCW maybe, with a TV maybe, deal isn't going to be GCW.
Maybe. It all depends. I mean, nowadays, who knows? You know, you can say shit on TNT. So really, who knows anymore? But it's, you know, it's the possibility.
I mean, here's what I'm going to say. The reason why you want to see that is because you don't want to see them doing death matches, because they're not getting away with the death match shit they do on regular television.
Yeah, that's my
personal thing. Yeah, I fucking hate death match wrestling, and I did it for 2.5 years. I worked behind the scenes for that shit. But anyways, but then the other promotion that I'm curious about is this new Terminus promotion that John Gresham is leading, because from the sound of their mission statement and their idea, I definitely hope that I can watch their first show out of curiosity. But one of the things that I'm already nervous about is there's an ROH World Championship match that does not involve John Gresham. It involves Bandido, which is already such a weird thing, figuring how Final Battle happened. And then also there's an Impact Championship being defended with Jordan Grace defending that title against somebody. And I'm automatically thinking, okay, so you're a brand new promotion, and for your first show, you're going to feature two other companies' world titles and then promote your one guy as the other world champion wrestling as well. So you're promoting two ROH world champions on your show for a company named Terminus. That's a little, you know, it's a little funky. Same reason with GCW. I'm a little concerned because the Briscoes are defending the ROH tag titles on one of their shows coming up here.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen with, I think Ring of Honor's idea was, let's have our titles be defended on these other brands now, since we're not going to be around, but they plan to come back in April.
But see, I wouldn't do that. I was running a brand. I wouldn't do that. To me, that's very poor business sense.
Well, then you shouldn't have had a final battle because there's no sense in even having those matches.
Absolutely. That's that, and that ties in all together. Like, now I don't care. Once again, I'm already concerned because three of your matches are something that if I want to see their continuation, I either need to go to a company that no longer exists or watch a company that nobody watches.
Right.
So, like, I try to be so excited, but this whole forbidden door, anybody can work everywhere. Well, if everybody can work everywhere, then what makes your show so important that I need to shell out $20 on Fight TV to watch it?
Right, exactly. No, I get that. Well, here's what I think with the whole Ring of Honor World Championship thing. I think that what they're going to build is they're going to build to the relaunch and have Bandido versus Jonathan Gresham. Which I don't care about, and I don't want to see it because I don't like Bandido. I'm very much like Vince in the fact that I don't like people that can't do a promo in English.
And that's fair, but even then, but if you want to see them, why should I have to go watch three other companies that are promoting another company?
Right.
You know, it just, to me, that's completely asinine. The reason why GCW is so cool right now, in my personal opinion, is because they're like, hey, here are some names that you don't ever see. Like, for the record, GCW will be coming to Detroit here in the next couple of weeks. And one of their matches is a guy and a girl teaming up to take on Too Cold Scorpio and Ricky Morton. Where am I going to see that? You know, and even if it's a bad match, it's one of those things where, wow, I won't ever see that anywhere else. Maybe I should go just to see what the fuck this is. Whereas if it was instead, let's
that's
just
how people end up in donkey shows.
Sure. But at least it's its own donkey show. And if I don't like it, then I know not to support them. You know, it's like, then I know that I'm not going to see Ricky Morton and Too Cold Scorpio work as a tag team on AEW Dark in a few weeks. Whereas everywhere else, it's like, that's the only way people think they can build stuff. And
but I don't want to see Too Cold Scorpio or Ricky Morton in 2022.
Fair. But you know what? At least you could, but then you can choose to see it and it's on one show. Whereas if you wanted to, but if I wanted to see Alex Shelley versus, let's say, Trey Miguel on that same show, well, fuck, why is it happening here when they're both employed by Impact? And that ties right. It all to, why am I seeing something that I should see on your brand somewhere else? There's a reason why Hulk Hogan didn't wrestle the Ultimate Warrior on house shows and all throughout everywhere leading up to WrestleMania 6, because if you did, you wouldn't pay for WrestleMania.
It would ruin it.
Yeah, and it's like, why the fuck was the Adam Page and Bryan Danielson match so controversial that now we need it on TV again? So now, the match we just watched, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was a draw, because you're going to see it again. But this one will make judges. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's kind of ridiculous. And then where do you go from there?
Yeah.
Like, you started out there because
who wins, who loses, and if Daniel Bryan loses, then
Cody Rhodes comes and makes the save, because
it'll be a split decision. I'm telling you,
it's gonna be a split decision. Cody Rhodes is gonna come and Cody Rhodes is gonna save the AEW championship the same way that he stopped racism.
Yes, I love it. But it's like, that's where I view modern wrestling. And I hate to be so down on it, but after everything that's happened, after a year of COVID bullshit in 2020, you would think that, hey, we've got fans back. How should we get more? And nobody wants to get more. Cody Rhodes has been on record 2.5 years ago stating that, I only want to cater to the people that like us because they're the true fans.
Oh, wow.
What? How does that make any sense business-wise?
I don't know.
Like, if I'm just friends with you guys, why would I then try to go, you know what? I only like you guys, so I'm only going to talk wrestling with you guys because you guys are the real deal. Like, no, I'm going to go listen to some other shit and then come back to you guys and we'll try and branch out more. There's a reason
That's called cognitive dissonance. That's called cognitive dissonance. And that's a real thing. And it makes people not want to accept any facts that make their current beliefs not true anymore.
Because they don't want to be wrong. They only want right. They can't take their blind love without the negativity. Like, I love Jeff Hardy, but fuck him at this point for what he's done. You know, I love Jeff. I've loved all of his matches as a kid, and it's awesome. But the fact that he keeps putting other people in danger because of his personal demons, fuck you.
Right.
You know, I love Goldberg. I always have, always will. But the fact that all he does now is hurt other people. Like, no, I don't need you anymore. It was fun to see you while it lasted, but I don't need to see you again. CM Punk, so glad to see you again. It was awesome to hear you thank us for waiting to see you and hear that music. But now you beat Darby Allin. Cool. What's Darby doing now? Still teaming with a 62-year-old. That's going to get him over.
And CM Punk.
Yeah, MJF is super hot. He's going to fight Punk. What's going to happen? If MJF beats him, he beat CM Punk. That doesn't elevate him like people think it does. Because after what happened in the UFC, nobody takes Punk seriously anymore. You know, like, and it's funny, but it's serious. Punk beating Punk doesn't elevate you anywhere. Because who did Punk beat?
Right.
Darby, who lost the TNT title to who did he even lose the TNT title to? I don't even remember.
Miro.
Oh, see, and where's Miro? Doesn't matter.
Monologuing.
Yeah, it's that's where all of this long-term storytelling bullshit is not true. I just don't see it. You know,
I do see the new toy formula coming around. It's like Miro, then the Sammy, and then they disappear. There's Hook, and I could definitely see, you know, like I said before, the annoyance and boredom of people. Like, you don't want to deal with the companies. Like I do see a lot of people say, I don't know if I can watch like mainstream TV wrestling anymore, which I do get the whole picture thing. Okay, you got to pay bills, but it's like, I could just watch something different without commercials and all that jazz.
Yeah, and even then, I actually liked commercials because it gave me a minute to step away from the screen.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. I've got 3 minutes to go take a piss so I can come back and, oh, here's what happened when we went on break. Oh my gosh. Cause now guess what? Now I have a reason to get live. Cause then there's no commercial breaks when you get to go see it live. But obviously it doesn't matter if I ever go to AEW live, because I can just watch their shitty television show and it's all there in pure black and white. It's just, I just don't, once again, doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's like the business of wrestling is no longer to make money. The business of wrestling is to have a 5-star match. And who dictates that? Some guy in California. And that's all people care about. I mean, we're talking about this. Puff looks like he's passed out. You guys can't see it in the audio version, but Puff looks like
I think that's the whole message. Like, half of a lot of us are burnt out with mainstream wrestling nowadays.
Yeah. It's just sad. It's sad because it's something I love. It's something I do. I locally promote around here, and I try to get involved with the local wrestlers here, because at this point, that's more exciting than what's on my television screen. Yeah, that's the sound of it. Wet fart. That's exactly that's exactly how 2021 ended.
Yep, basically.
Yeah,
it's just sad.
I think the whole message thing is like, if you want to see the wrestling that you want to see, it's like you gotta watch the promotions that's like not televised that you genuinely care about, or just make up your own wrestling promotion. Like, you don't need money, just like imagination, creativity, like what I'm trying to do. Like, for me, just want to study like the good aspects of promotions that were popular, Jim Crockett Promotions, NWA, WWF, Attitude Era mixed with, you know, WCW way before it got all discombobulated with mainstream 90s bullshit. Just trying to create something different, but have a little bit more fantasy characters in a sense.
That's it. But if you want that, that's the thing, is you got to watch something from 20 or 30 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, now, just
they're trying to recreate it, and they're doing a piss poor job.
It's not even they're trying to recreate it. They're trying to change it and make it something different. They want it to be something different.
And in doing so, they're just recreating the bad stuff and making it even worse.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Glad we're back after 6 to 8 months. Shit sucks.
We're gonna make you feel so depressed about wrestling. It's gonna be fun, y'all.
It's gonna be fun. We're gonna tell you about how everything sucks. It's gonna be a good time telling you what sucks and what doesn't, and then watch when we get into real arguments. This has been light. This has been very light. God. We've got some topics that we're gonna get into, and it's gonna get wild.
Oh yeah. My God, I can't wait.
The biggest argument we had was something that happened over 20 years ago.
Right.
And that was a conversation where we agreed. It's just we might blame somebody more than others.
Basically.
And that's more exciting than what's happening on Raw right now. I bet. I'd put money on it right now.
Well,
what's
right happening? Now, Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio are walking out, but I'm like 5 minutes behind.
Oh, okay.
But Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio are walking out.
Hey, how's Rey's eye? Is it there?
I think it came back. It came back, right?
What?
Oh my Lord.
Like grew back or something.
Yeah. Oh. Popped it back in like Vader.
Must have taken the performance enhancing drugs that Green Goblin took.
Must have.
Apparently there's a tag team tournament going on for who gets to face RK-Bro.
It's a bro-tournament.
Oh Lord.
It's an RK-Bro-tournament.
So it's Street Profits versus the Mysterios right now.
Two face teams that are high flyers. How interesting.
It's like I was gonna say two teams from AEW, but I realize it's every team in AEW.
Yeah, it's like Private Party versus Lucha Bros or anybody else. Who cares?
All right, let's get that. Go ahead.
But I was going to say, by the way, how awesome was it that Private Party beat the Young Bucks so long ago? Really did a lot for their careers working with fucking Matt goddamn Hardy.
I heard today that Jeff might be coming back and that they're going to have one more run in AEW.
Because why?
Oh boy.
You know why, Puff? Because when was that cool? 1999. That's why it's going to happen. Because why the fuck not? They'll win the AAA tag titles from the Revival and then go to AAA Mania next year or some shit.
It's so ridiculous.
Who cares? Yeah. Once again, doesn't matter.
And I know a couple people who are like, but one more run, wouldn't that be great? I'm like, no, one more run was great when they came to WWE for one more run.
4 years ago, right? Four years ago. Yeah. Why are the Dudleys not having reunions after the 6 years, 6 year ago when they had that reunion?
Right.
There's a reason.
Right.
Like, and can we talk about how, I guess one more thing is how thank God Bray Wyatt or Braun Strowman haven't shown up anywhere else. Like they're probably
Braun Strowman showed up in Ring of Honor.
And not a single person and not a single fuck was given that day.
I was gonna say, it doesn't matter. Where's he been since?
Not really.
He hasn't been on
his contract to get be null and void.
Yeah.
So he can actually go somewhere else. He had to wait 90 days.
But even then
nobody wants him. Nobody cares about him.
I don't want
that, after that shit he said like, oh, stop begging for money in the middle of a pandemic. So I'm like, yeah, that's when I lost respect for you, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for him to get booked by an indie company after all that shit he was talking about, indie companies.
Yeah. Year in review.
But we'll finish this up.
Good luck next year.
We still got another half of an episode to go.
Yeah, hopefully we might be more positive. Or maybe we'll just talk about else. Maybe anything else might be better.
Maybe. We'll figure it out. We'll see. But I think we've got a lot. We covered a lot this episode. I'm going to do a little bit of research, like pull up some specific topics from 2021 to talk about on the second half of it. Just because it's going to be shit that I know that we completely forgot happened. That's going to discuss. Yeah. That's going to disgust us. So I'm going to I'm going to search for those things that were just completely disgusting in 2021.
Little peek behind the curtain when we were trying to decide on the Smarkies, worst show came up and I was like, oh yeah, Extreme Rules Horror Show. That was like one of the worst pay-per-views ever until the one guy that's not on here right now, Mike Rossi, was like, dude, that was 2020. And I was like, oh, oops.
It's been just a mess. It's been just a like complete smudged together mess of shit showness since COVID.
Yeah. It all blends together. There might as well be no fans. It's the same fucking thing at this
point. But hey, at least Cody ended racism.
Damn right. Woo!
The greatest thing ever.
Ever. Ever.
Let's end the episode on that. Cody Rhodes ended racism and is now your TNT champion for a third or fourth time. I have lost count. But
third.
Good on third.
It's beautiful.
God bless. God bless Cody Rhodes.
Well, make sure you guys tune in for the second part of this episode. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what else we get to touch upon on this hot mess of a year that was 2021.
Yep.
Until then, oh, I don't know if these guys know the outro yet, Mike. Let's see if they can pick up on it. Until then, I'm Sean Puff.
And I'm AK.
I'm the Porterhouse.
I'm Raiden.
And this has been Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Kicks. The Smarks in here, the Smarks in here, yeah.